There's something you hear on the campaign trail from many of the Democratic candidates for president. It goes a little something like this.
I'm calling for universal free college and the cancellation of student loan debt of up to $50,000 for 42 million Americans.
I have fought hard, with some success, to move toward making public colleges and universities tuition free.
I do support debt-free college.
The fact that community colleges aren't free all across America, to me, is unacceptable. We should have that as our goal.
Well, starting this fall, some students at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign will see the dream of free tuition become a reality. Incoming in-state students whose families earn less than $61,000 per year and who meet certain other requirements will have tuition waived. Joining me now to talk about that initiative and others at U of I is Robert Jones, the school's chancellor. Welcome to the Morning Shift.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So why free tuition and why now?
Well, free tuition is a part of our commitment as a public land-grant university to keep education accessible and affordable. And over the course of the last couple of years, we came to realize that a large number of students, residents of the state of Illinois, weren't considering even applying to the University of Illinois because of the optics surrounding the tuition. You know, the sticker price is rather high if you just look at sticker price. And so we wanted to take that away as a consideration for our students. And we came up with this strategy called the Illinois Commitment for any student, as you said, with a family income of $61,000 or less, can, if they get admission to the university, can attend tuition and fees free for 4 years. As well as transfer students can transfer in for 2 years under that same program. So it's our way to do our part to keep education accessible and affordable, particularly to the segment of the population that needs it most.
And what is the cost of tuition right now at U of I?
Well, it depends on the degree program, but on average, tuition runs about $15,000 to $16,000 a year, depending upon program.
How did you come to that $61,000 threshold for family income?
Well, it's based on the kind of the medium income for families across the state of Illinois.
And will this program be extended at some point to other campuses, other regional campuses, or is it just limited to Urbana-Champaign? Right now?
Well, it's Urbana-Champaign's idea as a part of our commitment. The University of Illinois system has three campuses. Including the one here in Chicago and the one in Springfield. And so Chicago has its own version of this. Springfield is not something that they apparently are entertaining at this time. But with the University of Illinois being the flagship campus of the University of Illinois system, and we educate more than 50% of the Illinois residents that go on to college, we felt we needed to do our part to make sure that an Illinois education was accessible and affordable to a broader number of Illinois residents.
I'm curious how you first became aware of that price barrier for kids thinking about college, for their families, thinking mm-hmm. about how do we pay for this? And when you first became aware, this is really an issue for a lot of families in the state.
It's one of the most fundamental issues that we hear about as we kind of do our analysis and we go around the state and we ask questions about affordability. And you look at the issue of the number of Illinois residents who pursue educational opportunities outside of the state of Illinois. And we begin to ask questions and we know firsthand that, you know, just for example, we admit more than 12 to 1,500 African-American students here from the city of Chicago. And it's very, very difficult to get them to even accept our offer sometime after they've been admitted. And so you begin to ask critical questions of why. And so as we began to gather that data and that information, that feedback, it became very clear that sticker price was a problem, so much so that a large number of young people across social economic backgrounds across the entire state. We're not just talking about Chicago, but all the way down to the Kentucky border. We're not applying to this great university because they assume they wouldn't get in because it is very competitive, but perhaps more importantly and critically, they assumed they couldn't afford it. And so our strategy is to take the affordability issue off the table to the extent that we can, and we want to transform the paradigm away from the notion that I can't afford to apply to Illinois to I can't afford not to apply to the University of Illinois.
So the program covers tuition but not the cost of room and board.
It covers tuition and mandatory fees, but it does not cover the full cost of housing and food and books. But these students, because of their profile, will have access to other funding sources that will actually minimize the total out-of-pocket expenditure that they would have to pay in order to pursue and complete a four-year degree.
So beyond the financial piece of the calculation for who can take advantage of this program, what are some of the other considerations that go into whether or not a student is able to get free tuition?
The family income is the biggest factor when we look at that. You know, the big factor is how much Pell support they're going to be getting from the feds, how much support from the monetary award program from the state, and now another additional component that was added last year that really has been increased thanks to the governor and the legislature is the AIM High program. So there are multiple sources of funds that come together, and the university has taken the responsibility to backfill so that there is basically no out-of-pocket cost for families for tuition and fees. And as I said, we have additional resources to help them with the other components of attending a university.
And explain a little more about the AIM High Scholarship and how that works.
That is a relatively new initiative and is basically designed to address one of the critical issues we have here in the state, how do you stem the exodus of a large number of students to surrounding universities in surrounding states. And it is primarily targeted at high-ability students, the students that we can now offer a competitive, they now have a competitive financial reason to stay and attend a university in Illinois, whereas we haven't been very competitive in that regard because some of the surrounding states have been offering resident tuition plus $8,000 in scholarship. So the AIM High program provides an opportunity for us to not only recruit but retain and educate the best and brightest students here in the state of Illinois. And I think you know that that's absolutely critical to our mission of being a generator of economic vitality through creating the workforce, the educated workforce that's necessary to advance the state of Illinois into the future.
Now, DACA students and undocumented students are not eligible to receive the free tuition. How did you come to that decision?
Well, it's pretty much in alignment with kind of federal guidelines regarding what funds DACA students are eligible for. And as you well know, they're not eligible for a lot of the federal financial aid. I'm very excited and pleased with some of the efforts to provide other avenues for us to support DACA students. Because it's a segment of our student population that we care greatly about, and we're always trying to find new and innovative ways to make sure higher education is accessible and affordable to them as well.
We're speaking with University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones about a number of initiatives at the school, starting with a new program that gives in-state students whose families make under $61,000 a year free tuition, saving each of them thousands upon thousands of dollars. Coming up in roughly 10 minutes, we'll check in with Chicago Tribune beer writer Josh Knoll about the emerging hard seltzer market and what it could mean for local craft brewers. Stay tuned for that. You know, one of the conversations I hear a lot in higher education is about the challenge not just of recruiting what are often first-generation college students, but helping them get through the entire collegiate experience through graduation. So how is the University of Illinois working to not just recruit but also retain these students?
That's a critically important component that we don't emphasize enough. Getting admitted and enrolled is one thing. Graduating is something completely different. And it's something that we are very, very proud of. We have a first-year retention rate of about 92% for our students, and even for underrepresented groups, it runs from 85% to about 89%. We have one of the highest first-year, second-year retention rates among any of our peers in the Big Ten. We're at the top of the list in that regard. But the fundamental question you're asking is about graduation. We want to provide access to a degree, not just access to enrollment. And we're very, very pleased that also we're at the top of our peer group in terms of our not only our four-year but our six-year graduation rates are approaching 80%. And the underrepresented groups are only a few percentage points lower than that. And it's because once you are admitted to Illinois, we make sure that for the time that you are there, that you are provided the in-classroom, out-of-classroom support that's necessary for students to be successful. And we are very, very proud of the fact that we are providing access to a degree, not just access to the university. And so we're constantly looking at ways to improve the student experience, both inside the classroom and out of the classroom. How do we make sure that the students feel safe on our campus? How do they make sure that they feel a part of a community? And that is something that my Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, Dr. Denita Brown-Young, is constantly pushing us on to do a better job. And we're very pleased to have some of the best admissions, financial aid, student support staff, I think, in the country. And how we rank out among our peers in the Big Ten, I think, is a good example that is working, but there's always room for improvement.
Can you give us some examples of what that out-of-classroom experience looks like? Because as we know, that's a critical part of retention, having students feel like they are a part of the university community and having the kinds of supports they need beyond just instructional support.
Well, part of it is making sure that we're providing world-class advising to our students, that from the day, even before they enter, during the orientation process, that they are made to feel as a part of the university. We have a convocation where we welcome last year all 7,600 of our freshmen, and we anticipate there will be 7,700 to 7,800 first-year students that will be welcome in the fall. That is one of the major ways that we spend time with them early on in their academic experience, and I make sure they understand that they are a vital part of the university. They are not just a number. I try to be a student-centered chancellor. I spend a lot of time. You know, we have 50,000 students almost on our campus, but I spend a lot of time meeting and greeting and just chatting with as many of them as I possibly can. But from a more practical sense, we also, in addition to the advising, we're thinking about how do we leverage technology to make sure that we have early warning systems in place so we'll know if Johnny hasn't been to class in the last few days. We will know if Mary hasn't swiped in at the rec center in the last month or two. And so because we are a data-driven university and really the creator of a lot of the technological innovation that allows big data to be a critical part of what we do around the world, we're going to be utilizing that to even a greater extent so that we have all of these early warning systems where we can make sure that we're reaching out and intervening in a timely fashion if our students are finding difficulty. And then how do you make sure that they're spending time outside of the classroom, as I said, engaging student organizations, participating in events?
You became the first African-American chancellor when you took over in 2016. And just this summer, you hired U of I's first vice chancellor for diversity, equity, and inclusion, Sean Garrick, a mechanical engineer who currently holds a similar position at the University of Minnesota. Why was it important to add that role?
Well, it's very important to me personally. I'm probably one of the few chancellors slash presidents that came out of that academic side of the house. So I know how critically important the work is to the university. And in fact, just as a side note, the position that Sean has, I created it some decades ago when I was on the faculty at the University of Minnesota. And Sean is one of the national experts, and because he's a faculty member, he understands fundamentally the importance of diversity, equity, and having a diverse faculty, which is critically important in recruiting a diverse student body. And that position is something that I felt very early in my tenure. In fact, within the first weeks on the job, I started to poke around and ask a few questions, and ultimately brought in an external committee to take a look at our diversity efforts. And it was very clear to me that the university was allocating a significant amount of resources toward this effort, but that was not an institutionalized strategy and accountability in the chancellor's office to make sure that we are what we profess to be, an open, diverse environment, that we have a climate that's conducive for our faculty, staff, and our students to pursue their education and in a very, very dynamic way. So I can't fathom university being the type of university that we aspire to be in the future without having a senior level position dealing with one of the most critical aspects of university life, and that's diversity, equity, and inclusivity.
Well, Governor Pritzker was recently on campus to talk about his $45 billion capital plan. Listeners to the Morning Shift have heard that includes tens of billions for transportation and infrastructure projects across the state. $2.9 billion have been earmarked for higher education, and that includes hundreds of millions of dollars going to U of I. How do you plan to use that money?
Well, we are very, very pleased, first of all, I must say, thanks to the governor, to the legislature, for their overwhelming support. As you know, this is one of the largest capital bills, I think, in the history of the state, and certainly ones that creates a different paradigm than what we've gone through in recent years. The money is going to be part of our big strategic plan, about $395 million of that is going to be utilized to help us move that plan forward. $100 million will go towards something called the Chicago Quantum Exchange, which will solidify a partnership that we have with the University of Chicago, Argonne National Lab, Fermilab, and the University of Wisconsin to make sure that the Chicago, and therefore the state of Illinois, becomes the epicenter for innovation in this new area of computation. You know, just like the computers and the binary function of computers was revolutionary, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the next 15 to 20 years, this thing called quantum computing is going to make that look like a, the old cell phones that we used to carry.
The flip phones.
Right. It is truly innovative. And so the $100 million for the quantum exchange is going to make sure that Chicago, state of Illinois, is competitive as a part of the Department of Energy's multi-billion-dollar competition to build out three national centers. This is a game changer. This is a game changer for the nation. It's a game changer for the world. And we want Chicago and the state to be the driver of that. And we're very pleased to partner with the University of Chicago to get that done. Some of the other projects are related to the DPI and the Illinois Innovation Network that you've heard about, such as the renovation of Art Gill Hall, which is one of the older buildings on campus. It houses some of the people that are innovators in data and data analytics, our math and stat professors, and so it's going to provide new facilities for them, as well as the Illini Hall will be renovated to provide our data analytics center, because that's critical to the future success. And then about $395 million is not necessarily the glamorous stuff, but I believe appearances matter. And we have about $500 million worth of deferred maintenance, and $395 will go a long way to improving health and safety and just appearances issues on the campus that's been deferred for much too long.
So we have just about 30 seconds left. Really quickly, when you think about U of I 10, 20 years down the road, what does U of I look like?
I think U of I will, first of all, continue to look like a world-class, cutting-edge land-grant university that has clearly moved up to the next level of excellence, has thought about its mission and how it delivers that mission in a fundamentally different way. Not only will we always be anchored in Urbana-Champaign, but what you're going to see is a strategic and high-impact presence of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign here in the city of Chicago, because as a land-grant university, we have an obligation to serve everyone in the state, and we have not been strategically positioned to serve what I call the capital of the Midwest, the city of Chicago, Illinois. And so you're going to see blue and orange all over this place in the months and years ahead.
That's University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones. Thank you for speaking with us.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you.